So this afternoon, if you you smell it, he already talked about the luncheon that we have afterwards. And what we want to do is give the opportunity for you to have a good meal. And so we've set it up kind of like Olive Garden style. The only thing is they won't be offering you the perfect margarita or anything like that down there. So you have to kind of flex with that and such. So, but that'll be a good time. If you haven't prepared for lunch, feel free to stay afterwards. And it's for both sides. Listen, it's to help the teens to be able to go, but maybe you say, I don't have the money to support and help. Well, we made plenty of food, so come down and enjoy, okay? And don't worry about that. We want to do everything we can do, but if you can't, then we want to be blessing as well in both sides. So it was exciting last night to be here with the teens as most of the teen group was here actually getting everything ready. And I was thrilled. I was thrilled the pieces that I got here. I was a few minutes late, kind of normal for me, and got here a few minutes late, and they had already set up the tables, the chairs, and decorated some things, and were just doing a fantastic job getting things ready. So it was really exciting, and they had a great time, so I'm sure this afternoon you'll have a great time as you stay and enjoy lunch together. So, well, welcome to Milestone Church. As we begin this new chapter, I'm doing a series called Resolution, which is good for the beginning of the year. It's kind of a normal thing to be thinking about as far as starting a new slate and a clean slate and starting over. And so this is a good time for that. And so I'm teaching through the book of Joshua in the Bible where God calls his people to make a resolution to move forward. We all have resolutions to make because we're all work in progress. Would you agree? Is everybody work in progress here? Nudge your person next to you and say, you're a work in progress. Go ahead. You can do that. We can talk in church every now and again. And some of you are like, you're really a work in progress. Hopefully you're a work in progress and not a piece of work, though, right? That's kind of the goal. Well, last week I was making fun of Jamie. And I was making fun of him a little bit about the whole resolution thing. And over the years, him and I have had some fun with the whole resolution thing. And I was simply just joking around. But truthfully, I want to bring that back up. He's one of my best friends, and here's why. I've watched him over the years make changes in his life where he is simply, he's made these changes and he's stuck to it, and that's really awesome. You don't find a lot of people like that, do you? I find for myself, and you do too, I'm sure, it's hard to make a resolution and stick to it. I wish that more of us would follow through with the things we know we should be doing. I said a couple of weeks ago, only 8% of the New Year's resolutions that we make are actually followed through with, according to some statistic studies that were done. 8%. Think about it. Where you say, I need to make a change in my life. I need to do something different in my life. But the reality is only 8% will follow through with that decision to do something different. That's challenging. So 92% of us need help with specific steps. So in this series, what I'm doing is I'm taking the long approach to resolutions. I'm doing the paint-by-number kind of a series as to how to make a resolution. And so here's the three steps that we've gotten to so far. Step number one is to resolve. I resolve. It's to say, I must. It's not, well, I probably should. It's, I must do something about this. Something has to be done. I must. I resolve to. It's not just I'm dreaming about, I'm thinking about. It's I must. I can't stop. I have to do this. The second part is to explore. To explore is, because I must, I will figure it out. I must lose weight, so I'm going to figure out how. I'm going to figure out what's best for me. I must make a change in my finances, so because I'm going to figure out how to do that. I must work on my relationship with God, so because of that, I'm going to figure this out, and I'm going to understand a bit more there, and you just work at exploring to figure it out. Then today, we're going to talk about step number three, which is to leave. It's, I know what to do, so it's time for action. This is my favorite step. Like I'm a person of action. I like to do just to get moving and get going. And sometimes I put action before exploration, and that's really not the best thing. You should put action after the exploration. Once you know what to do, that's the time that you should be doing it. It's kind of like taking a trip and driving somewhere. Sometimes just because you get in the car to drive somewhere doesn't mean you're going to get there. You should explore, where is this at and where am I actually, how am I going to get there, correct? You ever drive just because you're like, okay, I'm late. I'm just going to get in the car and I'm going to figure it out as I go. You ever do that? I've done that actually, okay? It's not always a good, I think it's this direction, so I'm going to go that direction. Best process is I'm going to resolve, I must, then I'm going to explore, then I will leave and put into action what I know I need to do. And here's what I understand. In order to follow through with these resolutions, you're going to face challenges and obstacles that force you to cycle through these steps. Where you run into barriers or obstacles and you run into these problems that you say, I need to cycle back through. I must do this. And how am I going to, now that the cards kind of shifted this direction, how am I going to get through now? And so you go back to exploring a little bit better. And every time you face the next thing, it's, okay, I got to go back and retool and sharpen my focus that much more and then go back into action. And you keep on cycling through these things. And that's where toughness is developed. When you cycle back through several times and the resolve gets deeper and deeper and deeper, it becomes part of you. And then toughness is developed. So I want to look into the story that we've been following with Joshua as he leads Israel into action. We're in Joshua chapter 3. Last couple of weeks, I've done something interesting with you. I've asked you to stand as we read God's word. So I'm going to do that again. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse number 7, verses 1 through 6 kind of lead up to it, and I'll just talk about that in a little bit, but I'll get to verse 7 and read through the end of the chapter. It says, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.' And as Joshua said to the people of Israel, 'Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua said, 'Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing. And the waters coming down from above shall stand up in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over Jordan with the priests, bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. Verse 16, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away and at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan." You may be seated. When you know what to do, do it. When you know what to do, do it. It makes sense, right? When you know what to do, just do it. Joshua, he starts this thing off in verse number 1. It says that he rose early in the morning. This is the first time of several times throughout this book. It's something to note that several times it says that he rose early in the morning. Right before something major was about to happen, he got up early in the morning. He knew what he needed to do, and apparently what he did at that point, after he woke up, he woke everyone else up. I don't know if you've done that in your house or not. I've done that a few times. A lot of times, where I make enough noise and everybody wakes up. And I remember preparing for one missions trip, and we had all the teens in one place. I'm like, I'm going to wake them up in a really special way. I pulled out my trumpet and I let him know, it's time to wake up, right? Joshua got up early and apparently he woke everyone up with him. And this is the first time we see this, and we see this throughout the book of Joshua, where it notes that he rose early in the morning. Here's the reality. Moving forward requires forward motion. It requires forward motion. If you're sleeping in and just waiting around for the feeling to hit you, you'll never move. You agree? If I need to go forward, if I need to do something different, I find that what happens with me is if I'm sleeping in, if I'm putting it off, I will continue to put it off. Like if I don't feel like doing the laundry, I'll put it off. If I don't feel like putting that dish away, I'll put it off here. I'm going to put it off down here too. And it just continues to be this cycle where I put it off and I put it off and I put it off some more until I feel like it, or until there's critters crawling on top of the thing. And you're like, yeah, I guess now is the time to clean up the dishes. You know, and that's the reality in life where you get into a comfort zone. You say, well, I don't really feel like it right now. And so we sleep in. I was reading the Harvard Business Review. And they did this study on which is better, to be a morning person or evening person. How many of you are morning people? You're the one that wakes everybody else up in the house. Yes, all right. How many of you are evening people? Yeah, you're the one that keeps us up and helps us not be productive. See that? They were going through and they were saying, well, which is better? Which is better, to be morning or is it to be better in the evening? You know, which has the best results? And what they found was that morning people were more successful. Morning people were more successful. And they were more productive. They would get up and they would get things moving. But then the second part of the article said that evening people were more creative. They were funner to be around. They had a better sense of humor. They even said, I don't know that I agree with this. I think this is wrong. They even said the evening people were smarter. And I don't know. So they said, it continued on. They said, well, will the workforce eventually shift? And said, probably not, because the successful people are the ones that run the business. So they'll make you get there early. That's kind of how it works. And so it's kind of a funny thing that I was reading through. Here's the reality. Joshua decided that it was time to get up and get out. He decided, now's the time. Let's get up and let's get out. We're not staying any longer. We're not staying here another day. It's time to move. In order to be successful, in order to go forward with your life, there needs to be a time, a deadline, in a sense, that you say, it's time to go. It's time to make a shift. It's time. I'm going to set a date, or I'm going to set this departure time, that now's the time I'm leaving where I am to get to where I need to go. If you don't determine the departure date, you'll simply continue to make excuses and stay where you have been for a long time. So before you set the date, you need to resolve and explore. You know what you must do, and you've explored enough to know what's next. So to go back and to illustrate a little bit, if you've resolved to have a stronger connection with God, then you must explore how that will happen. Then set a date to begin. So you get the, as I was talking last week, you get the YouVersion app. How many of you did that this week? Okay, nobody. So do it this coming week. It's a really good app, and you can study that. I connected with a couple more people, so I'm just having fun with you. But there's a couple more people that connected on this. If you're struggling with connecting with God, that's a great way to do it. Get into a Bible study plan. You do it with somebody else, and you can connect with friends. I'm on there. You can connect with me. You'd be like, whoa, I got an extra anointed blessing on my app because I'm connected with a pastor, right? Okay. I know that's what you're thinking. So go ahead and do that, and you'll feel like you're with me all week, and that may be good or might be bad. Anyway. But it helps you to just stay firmly planted in where you need to be and where you need to be going. So you work on maybe an app, or maybe you have your own thing going on where you spend time with God in your own kind of way. You should have a meeting time with God, an intentional time that you're spending with God. That's why we have church service at a very intentional time. We don't just wing it. I mean, that's because, listen, somebody that was a morning person decided this, amen? They said, we need to have an intentional time, because if we leave it up to the creative people, they'll just say, we'll figure it out sometime. Anyway. Just get my digs in, you know? If you've resolved to do better with your finances, you have to explore what you're doing. You have to look at, okay, what did I do this last year? What put me into where I'm at? And then look forward and say, okay, what do I need to be doing? I need to set appropriate goals, put a budget in place. A budget isn't a means of saying I can't spend. A budget is saying I will spend here. That's all a budget is. It's determining the forward progress instead of saying I'm going to just do whatever. I'm just saying I want to do this, so therefore that's what I'm going to set my plans toward. So sometimes in order to do that, you leave from where you are and you cut up your credit cards because you know this is a really deterrent to going forward. This is what you used to do. That's a bad thing. And you get rid of them and such. Every resolution requires this final decision to leave. You can be all excited about it. You can have all the emotion behind it, all the motivation behind it. But if you never make a decision to leave where you were in order to get to where you're going, you won't get anywhere. James 4:17 says it this way, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." Where he's saying, listen, if you know this is the direction that you need to go, you know this is the right thing to do in your life. He says earlier in the text, he says some people, they dream about tomorrow. They say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be rich because I got this investment. Or next year this is going to happen. It's going to be great. Listen, if you know the right thing to do, then just do the right thing. Don't boast about tomorrow. Just do the right thing today. Set it in motion. Make a plan where you say, okay, I'm determining to do something different. And this is really one of those moments where I can pause and say, okay, when are you actually going to take the step that you need to take? When will you resolve to do something different in your life? Because we all have something that we need to do different. Agreed? We're all a work in progress, yes? And so therefore, we all have something that we could simply say, I need to do something different. Maybe it's to work on your marriage. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's whatever it might be in your life. Take that step toward the goal that God wants you to be achieving. James simply is confronting the dreamer. As I was working through that a little bit last week as well, we need to not just simply dream about an exploration. We need to explore the dream and fulfill it then. So God, in this text, and God in our life, wants to show us how big he really is. Verse 5, in Joshua chapter 3, let's go back there quickly. In verse 5, it says, Joshua then said to all the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourself. Get yourself clean before God. Get yourself focused before God. Make sure you don't have any ulterior motives. Make sure you're focused in on what God wants. Tomorrow, God's going to do wonders among you. And here simply, I just kind of jotted down, get ready for God to show up. That's what Joshua was saying. Get ready for God to show up. A lot of times when we say it's time to leave and move forward, I see that as God is leading us to go somewhere, God begins to show up in ways we never expected or planned. So Joshua has them prepare their hearts, making sure that they're clean before God. And when we look at where they are, they're currently in the wilderness, as we would call it, in this kind of city where they've been camped out for a while. But they had to leave where they were. They had to leave that. The biggest struggle with leaving is the willingness to leave where you are. The biggest struggle for me to go from point A to point B is I've got to leave point A to get to point B. I can't simply say, hey, listen, this is going to be easy. I'm just going to go and do this. The reality for most of us, if not all of us, is there's a struggling point where we have to leave the comfort of this is what we've known, this is what we're comfortable with, and this is where we are. Some people say it's simply hard to leave where you are, even if you don't care about where you are. If you're not happy about where you are, it's still hard to leave because at least you know where you are is where you are. There's comfort in just knowing, well, I've always been this way, so therefore it's okay. And sometimes we stay that way. I'm sure that for Israel, it had to be difficult to leave where they were in hopes that God would show up. I would imagine that as they were leaving this place that they've been comfortable with for a while, I would imagine they've got their things, their own, you know, maybe they just planted a garden or whatever, or they just had things just right, and they had their lawn, you know, kind of just perfect finally, or whatever it might be, and they've gotten used to this, and now it was time to leave. I'm sure it had to be difficult to leave where they were in hopes that God would show up. We all get comfortable with what we know. One of the hardest decisions that we've made as a church is to change our name. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. We changed our name from Berean Baptist Church to Milestone Church. And here's the reality. We used to be a church for Baptists. We used to be a church for Baptists, and now we are a church for the community. That's our major shift. We were a church that were identified by and looking toward reaching Baptists alone. And instead of that, we've said, no, that's not where God would want us to be. We want to reach out to people that are in the community. We saw in the past, we saw that we were simply reaching people that were Baptists or sympathetic toward Baptists. And so we understood that God wanted us to be reaching the community, so we're making that shift. So as we leave and go forward, we'll discover things that we must leave behind. What do you leave behind? Things we've been working on for years now. You leave behind judgmentalism. And most people would look at Baptists and say, Baptists are known for this. This is the core of their reputation. So years ago, we dealt with a lot of those things and got rid of that. And here's what we replace it with. You don't just get rid of one thing. You depart from, you leave in order to get over to here. So we departed from that. We left that behind, and we're continuing to. And we're focused in on God's grace, truth, and love. So as we deal with people, we understand as people come in, the community comes in, we say, we're glad you're here. We're thrilled that you're here. You belong here. This is your church. This is a church for the community. And so everybody's going to be different. Everybody sees things different. We don't see things eye to eye. So we look at each other and we say, hey, listen, you belong. We accept where you are right now. And we're going to work together as all of us are works in progress. And we're going to grow in grace as God is graciously working in us. We're going to grow in truth. And we're going to identify what that truth is. And we'll make resolutions over time to be able to take some steps in following him. And we'll love each other through the process. It's totally different than where things used to be. And so we're leaving from that, and we're moving forward into where we need to be with this. And I'm excited. This past several years, really, we've seen growth in that. In the past year, I've seen even that much more growth in that. Where we've just said, hey, listen, we're a church that wants to reach the community and be in the community in many different ways. One of the other things is we must replace the this is how we always did it with God, what will enable us to be a church for this community? Instead of, well, we've always had it this way, it's always been at this time, we've always been instead of that, and we've worked through that, and obviously with changing a name, that's probably the biggest change that you make there. You shift over and you say, okay, God, what will enable us to be a church for this community? That's our desire, our passion. And as we do, let's make sure our hearts are pure. That's where Joshua was. To pull it back to where he is there, he was saying, listen, let's get our hearts pure and right. Let's consecrate ourselves so that as we are moving forward, as we are taking these steps, we're resolved to be right with God. We're resolved that God is the only focus as we go forward, and he is then steering the ship for where we need to be going. So this applies not simply to our church, but it applies to every resolution, doesn't it? Every resolution needs the same context, where we say it's time to leave, and as we leave, we're getting ready for God to show up. And he does some amazing things. I've watched people that make resolutions with their finances and say, okay, it's time for me to buckle down and not just spend whatever I want, put whatever on my credit card. And I've watched them turn around and say, okay, God, this is your money, and I'm going to follow you in this. And so I want to do what you want me to do all the way through. So they set a budget, which helps to guide them. And then they begin to pay off their credit cards. I've seen people cut up their credit cards and pay them off. And so they start with payments. They say, well, this is going to take 15 years or 10 years or 5 years. And I've watched as people will put this plan in motion, and God begins to bless in different ways, and they're able to pay things off that much faster. Not because God threw like gold from the sky and there's your $2 million, they won the lottery or went to Atlantic City. That's not what God, you know, I mean, maybe he does that from, I've never seen that. But here's what he does. He continues to provide in ways that he just shows up and you're like, wow, look at how God's doing this. Look at what God just did here. He's providing in ways I didn't even expect or plan for. And it's awesome. So then the next part that we see, he goes and he tells the people, hey, listen, it's time, let's go. And he commands them that they're going to go to the other side where Jericho is. There's a problem with where Jericho is. There's this thing in the middle. It's called what? Yeah, the Jordan River. Okay, so how do you get through the Jordan River? We go down to the boat store, you buy a bunch of boats, you know, and everybody gets on a boat and you go. That's not God's plan. Okay, God, how do you want us to get over the Jordan River, get through the Jordan River? And he says, listen, I got this covered. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to have the people, the men of God, the priests, they're going to come. They're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, which is a representation of God being with them. And you're going to carry that. And they're going to go and they're going to put their feet into the Jordan River. And when I do that, I'm going to show up in a way that you just, it's going to be mind-blowing. I'm going to stand the water up on end, and it's going to be dry the rest of the way, and you're going to walk across on dry land. Wouldn't that be cool? And it says there, it even notes that this was a time where the river was flowing over. This was not a time where it was a trickle, it's not a big deal, just kick the rock in front, okay, we're good, you know? It wasn't like that. It was, how are you going to do this? This is a huge thing for you to do, God. And so here's what the reality. The priests had to do this first thing. They had to be willing to get their feet wet. Listen, in any resolution, in any decision that we make, the first thing that you have to do then as you go to action is you have to be willing to get your feet wet. Say, I'm going to try it. I'm going to go there. It's time to put my feet in and get my feet wet. It's okay to do this and take that step forward. So they put both their feet in the water and simply waited for God to do something. So here they are sitting, and I'm not sure how long they stood, but they get into the water, and they get their feet nice and wet, and they're just sitting there with the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, Lord, what next? So what next is God raises up the water, puts a wall up in a sense of water, and everything else then dries up. Now, to me, this is mind-blowing to me. It's mind-blowing to be thinking, okay, how does this really look? If I go down to the Delaware River, if I go out and see different, and I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, this would be dry, and you could walk across, and he just raised this up. How big would that wall of water be? Could you imagine? It'd be huge. Here, let me just summarize by saying this. We'll never experience God's power until we get our feet wet. We will never experience God's power until we get our feet wet. You can't just sit back and wait for it. You've got to step into it. You've got to be willing to try it. You've got to be willing to go for it. For where we are as a church, we want to make our church building that much more or that much better for the people that we're inviting in. We want to make it cleaner. We want to make it better. And so we're doing several things and planning for several things. We've been exploring. We have this on our heart and been exploring. We have the money to do this, and so we want to take some steps. We would actually like to paint the fellowship hall and redo the floor in the next couple of months. We'd like to also take the nursery, take out the carpet, and repaint the nursery and redo the nursery to make it better. Why? If you're a guest coming in with your baby, the first thing that you'll do is you look around the nursery and say, how clean is it? And we look and say, it's clean. We do the best we can with it, but it's time for new carpet. It's time for some new paint. And so we want to do these things. And we go down the fellowship hall, our gathering place down there. We want it to be nice. And so we want to change that up and paint and redo the flooring and stuff like that. We're excited for these things. And so these are the areas of, hey, we're going to get our feet wet and be able to just work on these things. And so if you want to help with that, you want to help with any part of the building, maybe you're like, well, I'd like to clean on a weekly basis. We have volunteers cleaning the church. You're welcome to help out with those things. Or maybe the other thing that we're working on the next couple months is we want to see kids' church. We actually want to take the classes that we have. We have a single class. We want to double that. We want to have classes for different age groups, and so we're looking at that. So we need more teachers and helpers with Kids Church, and that's a once-a-month responsibility that we do. And so if you want to help with that, we'd love to have you be able to just get your feet wet here and try it out. And you say, well, I don't know if I'll be here in 10 years. Guess what? I don't know if I'll be here in 10 years. You know that? I don't know if I'll be here in 5 years. I could walk out today and get run over by a car, and that'd be the end of me. And you're like, well, I got to get a new pastor. Right? And that's the reality of all of our life. Or I could have a heart attack or whatever it could be. And that's the reality. You don't know. None of us are probably going to be here in 60 years. I mean, the younger ones, but the older ones, yeah, most likely not. It's going to be different. So if you're here for a week, a month, a year, or 5 years, whatever, get your feet wet. Give it a shot. We want to reach the community. We want to be part of the community, and we need to do that together. So here's the reality. As we get our feet wet, God shows up and does what only He can do. And so He does. He parts the water so they can cross on dry land. He opens the door that only He could open. You see that? It's like walking into a wall. Here's this water. And God says, okay, I got it. I'm going to open the door. Let's go. So I was thinking this through this week, and maybe my mind's a little bit off, but think this through with me. One, do you see the cartoon? Where it was with Moses, not Joshua. I saw this on Facebook once where Moses is sitting there and his buddy's fishing and Moses parts the water and he's like, come on, Moses, cut it out. And you see that? Anyway. Or Moses, you know, doing this, he's a lifeguard and parts the water. Somebody's coming down off the thing. And anyways, that's irrelevant. So here's what I'm thinking. This is real. So I'm just imagining this, okay? So he parts the water. What happens? The water stops. It doesn't like, okay, we're going to magically make it go from here to here. He stops it, and it says it stopped going all the way down. So if you stop a river from flowing, what happens down here? It's dry. Okay, so you have the flooding aspect over here, or it's standing up, and it's like 10 stories, 11. Hurry it up. It's up to 15 stories. Let's go. You know, I don't know. And you have these fish that are popping out saying, yay. You know, I don't know. So they're walking across on dry land. And as they are, what's happening down here? Listen, what do you do if what does Matt like to do when you go to the river? Yeah, yeah. So you got all these fishermen. I'm just thinking this through. They've all these fishermen, fisher ladies, whatever it is, and they're sitting on the shore and they're fishing and throwing it out, and all of a sudden, there's like no water. Yo, what happened? You know, and well, we got all these fish over here. I guess we'll just grab those and we're good now. And so it's dry. Or here's the other thing I'm thinking. You know, we're out with a family camping down the, you know, at Buena Vista, down next to Jordan River, and we're camping down here, and everything's going great. Got a church family group, like 20 families. We're having a great time, campfire, and a whole bunch of us are out wading in the river. We got our inner tubes and everything and having a great time playing, you know, volleyball or whatever in there, and all of a sudden there's no water. Could you imagine this? My mind just goes crazy here. You can come up with your own scenarios because that's the reality of it. All of a sudden, there's nothing. Like, what happened? And everyone's looking and saying, did you see that? In Jericho, which is a couple of miles away, I would imagine that while they can't see it from the place, I would imagine they have some spies or different people looking because that's the next city that's closest to it. I would imagine that they're looking and they were already terrified of the Israelites coming. And now what they see down the road is they're looking, they're saying, did you see that water? Did you see what just happened? And they're terrified. Something just happened. The Israelites, here's what I know. They got their feet wet, and then the water stood up, and everybody else came across on dry land. God's doing something that I can't even explain. Here's my question this morning. How big is your God? How big is your God? You see, my God is so big. My God is so big that He goes and He says to Israel, listen, today's the day I'm going to show you how big I am. You're going to fear. You're going to have risks. You're going to have struggles in the future. But I'm showing up today. I'm going to be God in your life in such a way that I'm going to stand the water up on end. And you're going to walk through and you're going to see this amazing miracle happen right in front of your eyes. And you're going to know from that day forward that I am your God. And for all of us sitting here, don't we need that? Don't we need God to show up in our lives where we say, God, I need you. I'm going through stress and pressure and difficulty and struggles. God, I need you to show up in my life. And here's the truth. He did show up back here with Israel. That's our example for us today. And he continues to show up in our lives as we get our feet wet and take steps forward to leave from where we were to where he wants us to go. So how big is your God? How big is he? Is he big enough to show up in your life and to make the changes necessary to change all of you? Is he big enough to change your marriage from being messed up to being a marriage that pleases God and you're moving forward together? Is God big enough to handle the finances and the struggles that maybe you put yourself into, or maybe it just happened to you? Is God big enough to work that out and to say, okay, I got you, we're going forward here? Is God big enough? Do you trust him there? What I find in life is that you'll never know that he's big enough until you get your feet wet, until you leave from where you've been to go to where he wants you to go. And it will require you to get your feet wet. It will require of all of us to be able to step in and say, okay, God, I'm standing here and I'm waiting for you to part the waters, to open the door that you want for me. We just need to leave. We need to leave where we've been to go to where God wants us to be. I want you to think about that today. How big is your God? How much do you worry? Worry is basically saying, God, I've got this. You just sit back and I'm going to take care of this by worrying about it. We sit in a rocking chair acting like we're doing a marathon, right? And it's going nowhere. How much do you take matters into your own hands when God says, no, I got this? And we try to push our agenda forward when God's saying, no, that now's not the time. Just stand still in that water and get your feet wet. I'll show up. I'll open the door. Stop trying to knock the door over. Leave from where you were, get to where God wants you to go, and wait for him to open the door and walk through it. Man, resolutions are right there. You've got to be resolved. I must go forward. You've got to explore, and then you've got to leave. And I hope that you'll apply that for all of us. I hope we all apply that to our lives this week. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for all that you're doing in our life. Thank you for what you did with Israel, and that you showed up in ways that we can't even understand, ways that we would look at and say, that's just weird. But Lord, we look and we trust that, as this is recorded historically for us, that Lord, we trust that you are that big. And Lord, as we've seen different things in our lives, Lord, I pray that you would show up that much more and do amazing things in us to teach us your ways. And we'll give you the praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. There's teens going down to get things ready for the luncheon, and Jamie's going to come up and share some thoughts, and we're going to have a baptism here in a minute. And the kids will be coming up from Kids Church as well, just to give you that heads up. Thank you.